ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
When you lay a brick like this every time you get a chance and you lay it perfectly fine, at the end of the day, you get a big castle.
Is an empire in production. 7'7", 22 years old, French superstar Victor Wembanyama, who's changed the idea of what might be possible in the NBA. Otherworldly, extraterrestrial, alien. Those are the superlatives being used for San Antonio's star. In the other corner, a historic team, historically starved with a rabid fan base, the predatory New York Knicks. Alien versus Predators. This is an unparalleled NBA Finals series. We cannot wait. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Robert O'Connell covers hoops for the Wall Street Journal. Rob, I cannot recall a more anticipated finals series than this one in the NBA, and I got to start with Spurs superstar Victor Wembanyama, LeBron James, Michael Jordan. They did not get to this stage this early in their career. Just how otherworldly is what the Frenchman is doing right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's zooming past some pretty important benchmarks. Like you said, I believe it took LeBron till his fourth season to reach the finals. I think for Jordan, it was seven, around there. Other guys have made it earlier. You know, Magic Johnson famously won a championship in his rookie year. But this is pretty rare air for Victor Wembanyama, what he's doing here. And to me, the most remarkable thing is I was talking to people at the finals today. I just arrived here in San Antonio. It feels to me like he's getting better even during the course of the playoffs. He's getting stronger. He's playing big minutes. He's become very competitive as these series have gone along. So it's really exciting to see.
You hit on the mentality piece there, and I want to drive into that. I remember his response when asked if he's ready to be the face of the league.
Oh, of course, definitely see it happening. I think it's the natural course of things, you know, supply and demand, you know, and I'm here to supply.
And what blew my mind about Wembanyama in the series with Oklahoma was the mentality, the killer instinct of the Frenchman, telling his teammates, hey, hard foul these guys, throwing elbows after copping elbows. There's a mystique too. I mean, he trained with Shaolin monks in China in the offseason. Come on. For all the physical attributes, is the mentality, the killer instinct, just as telling?
I think it is. I mean, he's a... he's a real competitor out there. He's a gamer. He wants it. All of those cliches you want to hear from your franchise player.
The day we win it, speaking for myself, it's going to be an amazing day of like realization of a dream. You know, it's hard to put into words. It's almost like the meaning of my life, you know.
And to me, one of the interesting things is, you know, Victor is kind of the culmination of this generation or two of international players and specifically European players coming over to the NBA. And for the longest time, the question about those guys, the sort of lazy, stereotypical question was, were they competitive enough, physical enough, all of those things? And I think you saw some of that with Victor, you know, even early in his career. He's a frailer guy than most, although he's gotten stronger and he looks stronger in person than he does on TV. But I think Victor, you know, like people before him, like the Dirk Nowitzkis of the world, Arvydas Sabonis, et cetera, has shown that, yeah, he can mix it up with any stateside player anytime, and he's happy to.
Is there anything you see from him in person, at press conferences, around the game, that maybe we don't appreciate just watching him on TV from like 30,000 miles away here in Australia?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think you see a lot of it. He deeply wants to win. He's obviously very emotional when he gets big wins.
A new era has dawned. It's Wemby's West. The Spurs are going to the NBA Finals.
Look at the emotion from Wemby. Unbelievable. This is what you want to see. A young team growing up on the biggest stage.
He's a pretty thoughtful guy. He takes, you know, a lot of time to consider questions in press conferences like that. I don't know. I would say that in general, and he talks about this himself, he's an emotional player. He doesn't always respond to losses well. He was widely reported that he skipped media after a loss in the Western Conference Finals. But I think he would always mark that as a positive. He wants to win badly. It hurts when he loses. He really loves the feeling when he gets it done.
Doing it at this level, I mean, this is the best basketball on the planet that's being played right now. And the crazy thing is, maybe I'm crazy for that, but I want to do that 15, 20 more times. Let's hope it doesn't become an addiction. Maybe it is already.
And I think that's something that you can really feel being in the room with them.
If Wembanyama is a science experiment, defying physics, defying what we've seen, the Knicks' best player is two, in a way, just kind of in reverse. I mean, Jalen Brunson is relatively short at 6'2". He wasn't first pick in the NBA draft. At his last team, he was often riding the bench. So how has their $100 million bet that the New York Knicks have placed on Brunson paid off so handsomely?
Yeah, I mean, the amazing thing about Brunson's trajectory through the league, he was a second-round draft pick, as you noted. He was never an all-star, all-rookie, anything like that in his time with the Mavericks. And so the Knicks could kind of get him for a salary that, you know, you don't often find if you're shopping for the top-tier superstar in the free agent market. Famously, the Knicks went after LeBron James once upon a time when he ended up going to Miami. And suffice to say, if they had gotten LeBron, he would not have been the 46th highest paid player in the NBA like Brunson was. They bought low on Brunson. It was an incredible bet. He's turned into this all-NBA MVP candidate type player and captain clutch, you know, one of the most clutch players in the fourth quarter of playoff games we've seen.
Brunson against Harden, almost pokes it away. Shot clock at 10. Brunson drives, pulls up, shot is up. Bank shot is good. The Brunson burner has been lit. It's an 8-point game.
And more than that, he just, you know, he provides that team with its spirit, its energy, its passion. He's another guy who, like Victor, a serious, serious competitor. We saw him, you know, lead that charge in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. Knicks were down 22 in the fourth quarter. A lot of other teams might have been taking their players off the court. Brunson led him on a comeback, got game one, and swept the series.
Down 22 with 7.5 to go. Knicks take game one behind the brilliance of Jalen Brunson.
That's just how he's wired.
We talked about the Wembanyama mentality side of things. You could apply it to Brunson too. Why is it that you've spoken about him being captain clutch?
Yeah, we've seen since he came over to the Knicks, we had this stat in one of the stories that I wrote. He's led the entire NBA in total fourth quarter playoff points since he put on a New York uniform. You see teams hunt the, you know, analytical shots, the three-pointers and layups. But in the playoffs, sometimes defenses are ready for that. You see the same opponent over and over. And so you have to take hard shots. And what Jalen Brunson is one of the best in the league at is manufacturing open space in those middle quarters in the mid-range and just hitting hard shots. He hits fadeaways, he hits tough contested floaters and layups. And he's so strong and low to the ground, he can kind of create his space against anyone.
What do you see as the blueprint for the New York Knicks, who have waited more than 25 years to be back in the NBA Finals? Forget about actually winning it. They haven't done that since 1973. If they're going to try and take down an alien and his teammates, what's the blueprint for the Knicks to get it done?
I think it starts with things that happened last series. You know, the Knicks swept. That means they had over a week of rest. The Spurs were dealing with a tough physical seven-game Western Conference Finals and some nagging injuries on their team. Dylan Harper was hurt. De'Aaron Fox is playing hurt. He hasn't been quite himself since sustaining an ankle injury. And so I think, you know, if you're being cynical, part of what you hope if you're a Knicks fan or a Knicks player is that maybe those guys aren't 100%. But once we get out on the court, I think one thing the Knicks have is, you know, this kind of five-out offense they can go to where their center, Karl-Anthony Towns, can step out and shoot threes reliably, be a good volume shooter from out there. That accomplishes one of the goals the teams always try to do against Victor, which is get him away from the paint. That creates driving lanes for other players, et cetera, et cetera. He's a one-man defense, and if you can do anything to stand a fighting chance against him, that's one of the keys.
We know the New York Knicks is a long-suffering fan base with wild fans, maybe the best fans in basketball. But given the influx of celebrity and the sort of hangers-on that come with them and the insane prices for tickets at Madison Square Garden, I think they're now north of $4,000 US on the secondary market just to get in the building. Is that going to change the dynamic of what is one of the better crowds in basketball in New York, or not so much? Is it just not going to quite impact the fever that we are seeing in New York City?
It's a good question, and I'm curious about it myself. I'm not from New York, so I'm not biased in this way, but I think Knicks fans are the best in the NBA. Their combination of extreme passion and basketball knowledge is pretty unmatched.
It's good! Tie game with 44 seconds to go! What a bounce for Shamet! It's bedlam here at the Garden!
You know, I tell this story, but there are times when I'm at a playoff game and they'll give a loud cheer, you know, midway through a defensive possession because the, you know, defenders rotated on a string correctly, got to close out and sort of reset the possession with time running out on the shot clock. I'm honestly curious to see if that maintains as we get this well-heeled crowd in for these games that only, you know, the very wealthy can afford. I will say, I don't think the celebrities are the people most to worry about the most, because a lot of the Knicks fan celebrities that are there have well-established bona fides as true basketball fans. We've all seen Timothy Chalamet the last couple of years, but, you know, he's going nuts. He knows ball. A lot of these guys know ball. Spike, of course, knows ball very well. The Sopranos folks in there at the games all the time and know the team very well. I just don't know if you'll have quite that same working class fervor that you sometimes get at good Knicks games during the regular season and in earlier rounds in the playoffs.
Just finally, I need you to play forecaster for us. Who do you see victorious? Is it going to be the glamour and star power of San Antonio or sort of working class underdogs of the New York Knicks?
I'm not a betting guy. If I had to bet, I would probably pick the Spurs. I think they are the better, more talented team in a vacuum. They have, in my opinion, the best player in the series, probably the best player in the world at this moment. But there are intangible things. The Spurs are very young. Like I say, they're a little bit banged up. You know, the Knicks are obviously on this torrid hot streak that, you know, they've been blowing teams out for the last 3 weeks, month, whatever it is. But I would say if I had my life depending on it, I had to pick a team, I think we will be crowning the Spurs.
Robert O'Connell from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Headlines. Big news in cricket. Cricket Victoria is undertaking a kind of weird merger. Under the proposal, BBL teams, the Stars and the Renegades, will unite under one T20 banner. The brands and staff, that is. Not the players. All of this is because Cricket Victoria is struggling to fund the two teams. So the idea is you unite the two clubs under a new franchise and you sell the vacant license to a private investor. Here is Cricket Victoria's Nick Cummins.
That will be a brand which we're looking to launch later this month, which we believe will unite Victorian cricket fans. I think sort of hark back to our heritage of where the Big Bash first started when Victoria played as the Bush Rangers. People ask me whether it's going to be called the Bush Rangers. We haven't made a final decision on that. We're also interested in minority sales, so some private investment in that team at a point in time, but at this stage our focus will be on selling the 100% of the other license.
This is all still subject to Cricket Australia's approval. Kind of reminds me of when they merged bitter rivals North Sydney and Manly in the rugby league, simultaneously upsetting everyone. You wonder whether this will see other states follow suit. Has the potential to completely alter the BBL. Two teams with brands and fan bases built over a 15 to 16 year period, likely gone. Mitchell Moses won't play for Parramatta against Canterbury in the NRL King's birthday game. The question it raises is an origin one. Will Laurie Daly, Blues coach, bring the playmaker into the New South Wales squad ahead of game two without him showing a capacity to get through a solitary game of footy? Or will he stick with stunning debutant Ethan Strange, who was brilliant in the number six jumper? Speaking of King's birthday clashes, Jai Arrow, the NRL star who has recently revealed his motor neuron disease diagnosis, will toss the coin in the AFL game on Monday between Neil Danaher's beloved Melbourne and Collingwood at a packed MCG. The Freeze MND clash will double as a huge celebration of Danaher's life and contribution in the fight against the disease after the Demons legend died last month. It's going to be a deeply emotional day. Makes the hairs stand up on the back of your neck just thinking about it. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Fox Sports, NBA TV and ESPN for the extra audio used in this episode.